Wouldn't it be nice to be able to dispose all your troubles onto your brothers and sisters around you? To know that you don't have to carry that burden all by yourself. You know, and yet so many times we get locked mentally, sometimes physically, into this thought that, you know what, I'm strong enough in myself, I don't need others. Which is just the lie that Satan wants you to pick up on. You know, you're invited to be part of God's family. Being part of that family means that there are times when I'm going to need to pick you up, and you're going to need to pick me up. But I can't do that just by osmosis and being around you. Sometimes we've got to verbalize what truly is going on in our life and be honest enough to share that, knowing, you know what, this person is not going to condemn me because this is not a place for judgment. Amen. This is a place where we just get right with God and we get right with each other. And we do that not to have a step on you, or but it's where the honesty and the love of God come together. And we build each other up, we strengthen each other, we teach each other about the love of Christ. What a great place to be. Three things I want you to know this morning. Three things that make a real difference to my mindset. These are not on your outline that's inside your bulletin, though you can take your bulletin out and write this on the inside of your bulletin. I'm sure there's some space there that you can use. I want you to know these three things this morning. In fact, not just I want you to know these. The Lord wants you to know these things this morning. I am deeply loved. This is a very powerful statement to make to yourself and to declare over yourself. I am deeply loved. Can you say that about yourself? Let's just say it out loud. Let's just affirm it to ourselves out loud. I am deeply loved. You're highly favored. That's the second thing. You are highly favored. I am highly favored. Let's say that together. I am highly favored. I am deeply loved. I am highly favored. And the third thing that I want you to get out of today is I am wonderfully blessed. I am wonderfully blessed. So, the three things today that I'm going to take out of here, if nothing else, from here on out, you can just tune me off. Mm-hmm. Some of you checked out even before coming in here, but I'm not gonna go there. Three things that I want you to take out of here today is, number one, I am, and I am. Now say it as if you really, really believed it. Okay? Not just saying it to be saying it, but say it like you are really believing these words this morning. I am deeply loved. I am highly favored, and I am wonderfully blessed. Click. Okay, that's good. Lock that in. We're good to go. If you get nothing else out of today, know that those things are all gifts from God. That you are deeply loved by God. You're highly favored by Him. And you are wonderfully blessed. Genesis chapter 18 is going to be a story about Abraham. And Abraham, we know, has come a long way. And being the father of our faith, it's just very strong for us to take some time to really examine Abraham's life. Because if he's the father, if he's the very genesis of faith, the very beginning of it, then we need to look at how did that come about and just exactly what makes up a person of faith. Abraham shows us a very wonderful example here in chapter 18, verses 1 to 15 is what we're going to go over today. You can take your Bibles out, or I'm sure these very sharp guys in the sound booth who never had a hint or a clue that that's what I was going to do today are already way ahead of me. And here it comes. Okay, maybe not. Man, I built you guys up really well, too. You know, ta-da! The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up, and he saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them, and he bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed, and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. Isn't that always like the man? "Hey, honey, I've invited some friends home for dinner." "Hurry, put something together. I'll entertain them while you're doing that," right? Man, oh man, oh man. Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick, get three seas of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." "Sure, Abraham, I'll just drop everything I'm doing. It's the heat of the day. Sure, thank you very much." Then he ran to the herd. "Run to the herd. Herd, don't you find me?" He ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. Why did he hurry to prepare it? Because Abraham told him the very same thing. "Hurry, take this calf, go prepare it." In other words, go cook it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before the three men. And while they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where's your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "Well, there in the tent," he said, "cleaning up the kitchen." Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." I'm sure they heard some dishes hit the floor. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I'm worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?'" You gotta love this next verse. In fact, this next verse is something that I've camped out my life upon. "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" You know, some of the things that you go through in life, is it really too hard for the Lord? I'll preach about that later. "I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." 2 Peter 2:19 is a verse that I wrote down for myself when I was a Phoenix fireman. I put it on a sticky note and I put it inside my locker to remind myself of this very truth, that you are a slave to whatever controls you. It was a great way for me to recheck my mind before I started my fireman shift, before I started to be there to be of service to my community. You are a slave to whatever controls you. Now, I, like many of you present, have dealt with addictions in the past. In fact, probably still have an addiction. Hopefully they are healthier addictions, or at least I like to think that my milk duds are a healthy addiction. But just so that we know that there is no one greater than the next person, how many of us have dealt with addictions? Oh, Kate Elk and the rest of you are liars. I'm just saying. If you didn't have your hand up right then, you're really not being truthful. We all have addictions to one thing or another. It could be the remote control. Hello. It could be a computer. It could be to our job. It could be to our social status. It could be to food. It could be to you name it. You fill in the blank. But you are a slave to whatever controls you. You are a slave to whatever controls. Roll that around in your mind for a while. But also let that be a strength to you. Because you've got to ask yourself, what really is controlling me? What really is controlling me? Because that thing, I am a slave to it. So what do I want to be a slave to? What do I want to tie myself to in my life? You know, and am I happy and proud of what it is that I'm tied to, or does it bring me shame when I think about it? Or when I start to talk about it to someone else, so, well, I'm a slave to this. Does it make you happy to be a slave to that? Or is it, oh, yeah, I'm really a slave to, and you name out something really terrible. It's kind of a test of whether people will accept you or not. And know that in the church, though you struggle with an addiction, or you struggle with something that is trying to control you that is not from the Lord, that we will love you to the strength of the Lord being in your life and being the control of your life. That's what we're supposed to be about. Amen? So I asked this question, and these questions are going to come up again on Wednesday night, just to let you know, that Abraham did what when the Lord appeared suddenly? What a strong thought. That if the Lord just appeared to you, you know, what's Abraham doing? Abraham is out in the heat of the day, and he's sitting at the entrance of his tent. He's at a place in the region called Hebron, where the oaks of Mamre are assembled, and to grow oak trees, you need what? Water, large amounts of water. Oak trees need to drink in about 150 gallons per day to grow, to be as statuesque as that tree is back there. And that's a huge oak tree. And honestly, when it's warm, when the sun is beaten down, where do you want to go? Under the oak tree, right? So the Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. I want you to envision that coming to church is like coming to the great trees of Mamre. That this is a place where you can come to be refreshed, to be renewed, to be strengthened. Abraham looked up and he saw three men standing nearby. Now, the trees of Mamre, the oaks of Mamre, were a common gathering place for the people of the area. I mean, after all, everything else is arid and hot. And so you would look off in the horizon and you'd go, oh, we are coming near to the oaks of Mamre. Let's go there and let's get out of this sun. I mean, they didn't exactly carry around English umbrellas in those days. They had to find some kind of shade somehow, somewhere. And so that's what made this area. And some people got a little bit weird about it because here were these trees out here in Nowheresville. Oh, let's go and worship at the trees. God doesn't want us worshiping creation. He wants us worshiping the Creator. But here they were. A common place, but Abraham looks up and he sees these three strangers standing nearby. Now, Abraham's warm, just like everybody else. But what does he do? He sees these three men and immediately, it says, he gets up from the entrance of his tent and he hurries to go meet them and he bows low to the ground. What kind of a thing is that to do to someone else? Brother Dan and all your wonderful stature, all 6'4" of you, as you stand there and I have to look up to you. And I come before you and I say, Brother Dan, and I bow myself before you. What does that do? What am I doing to Brother Dan? I'm honoring him exactly. I'm bringing, you know, hey, look, I want to be your servant. Just like we were singing about, I want to be your servant. And then here's what Abraham says. If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Now think of the position that Abraham has. This is a man of great wealth. This is a man who has many herds. He's got over 300 fighting men walking around with him, we've read about in Genesis so far. And not only fighting men, but shepherds and their families and their children. So Abraham is a mighty man of stature and wealth. And yet he sees these men at the oaks at Mamre. And he brings himself low and says, if I found favor in your eyes, then let me do what? Let a little water be brought that you all may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Honestly, what's one of the great ways to cool off? To put your feet in some cool water. Right? I mean, if you're really warm during the daytime, immerse your feet in some cold water. You'll be amazed at how refreshed you'll be. It just warms up or cools down your whole body. And that's what Abraham is offering to do for these people and understanding the culture of that day. These people didn't walk around in these closed-toed shoes. They had sandals. And so that was a common custom in the day. When you came to a person's presence, that they would wash your feet. They'd wash the dust off of them, which would feel really, really good. Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed. Then go on your way now that you have come to your servant. Very well. Do as you say. So how do actions either complement or subtract from words? If I just tell you, hey, honey, don't worry about it. I'm going to sweep up the back porch and get all that debris that these storms have been bringing to us. And then she goes, oh, okay, you got it. Thank you. And she takes off and she goes and does her stuff. And then she comes back and a couple hours later and it's like the stuff's all over the patio. And she goes, I thought you said that you were going to sweep up the patio. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get to that. She might start getting a little bit irritated with me. Except she's so sweet. That, of course, she would just throw down a gentle reminder. Hey, honey, sugar lumps. Why are you calling me lumps, hon? The milk duds? They're just kind of accumulating in some areas. I thought you were going to clean up the patio. I mean, we've got friends coming over. I thought you were going to get... Never mind, I'll get to it. See, if I just say that I'm going to do something, but I don't follow through and don't do it, that's what these men were saying to Abraham. Oh, well, very well, they answered. Do as you say. You know, see, if I call myself a Christian, then there are some things that my life should show to others, right? I can't just call myself a Christian and then go and act like a hellion all week long. Just go and never have any Bible study, never have any time of prayer, never really give off the countenance of being with Jesus. I mean, isn't that what the people said about the apostles? Hey, these guys are just ordinary men, but they've spent time with the Lord. Do people say that about you? Just ask him. Do as you say. So Abraham doesn't just go slothfully off. Okay, yeah, guys, you know, settle down. I'll be right back. No, Abraham hurries into the tent. Now this is a man. Now he starts exercising being a man of wealth, being a man of position. And the first position that he imposes, honey, get some food ready. Really, Abraham? We're going to talk about this later. Yeah, but honey, get some of the finest wheat together and make up some of that precious bread that you make. Oh, it's so delicious, honey. You're going to make these men so happy. So they're going to feel like, hey, this is the restaurant to come to when you're out in the wilderness. Come to the Oaks of Mamre. Sarah's there. She cooks a mean biscuit, baby. So he goes there. Then he runs out to the herd. He selects a choice, tender calf. And he gives it to the servant. Hurry, hurry. And again, he's a man of position. Hurry, prepare this, please. And he gets some other supplies together. And he goes out. This stuff takes time to happen. This isn't just instant. Okay, yeah, let me defrost that, put it in the microwave, 20 seconds. Okay, good, warm that up. Here you go, Abraham, take that out. No, this kind of stuff would take hours. It would take some time to get this ready. So the thing that Abraham is imposing upon others is a great thing. So, do you sometimes feel put out by some of the things that people ask you to do? What? Do you know how much time of my life that you're asking of me that I'm never going to get back? Yeah, okay, fine, I'll do it. Boy, will I do it. Let me see this flower. It's a little dry. Yeah, I'm going to do it, all right, yeah. What's your attitude like when someone imposes upon you? And especially when you just don't feel like doing it. Are you doing it as unto the Lord? Or are you doing it as if you're dealing with flesh and blood? Just ask him. Don't stone the messenger. Your actions either complement or they subtract from your words. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. But, you know, hey, I've got this going on in my life and I got that, you know, so, yeah, I'm a little bit too busy to come to any Bible study with anybody else or get together or even just give a phone call and check on the whereabouts of somebody. By the way, just FYI, this is a public
service announcement number one.
Our brother Willie has had another seizure, and his wife Marilyn flew back on Friday to go back and be with him. He was hospitalized, and so if you will please keep brother Willie and Marilyn in your prayers. This is the second seizure event that brother Willie has experienced, and so in fact, join me right now. Love and Heavenly Father, we ask for your healing touch to be upon brother Willie. And that if there's anything that these doctors need to discover that can help give him some strength, give him some healing. But you are our healer, Father. We acknowledge you as our ultimate healer. So by whatever means that you want to use. And Lord, I also ask you to comfort Sister Marilyn in all this, because it's not just the one going through, just as it's not just Roger going through this stuff that he's going through. It's Donnelly as well. And they need your strength and comfort as well, Lord. They need your healing touch. It's Don and Nancy Huffaker. Lord, it's the two of them. It's the Cobbs dealing with Judy's battle with cancer and leukemia. Lord, we thank you that we have others that are associated with us that we can lean upon. We pray for your healing, miraculous touch on all these that we've mentioned in Jesus' name. And Dave and Patty Minkler, Lord, how time and time again, even again this week, to go to the hospital again. Lord, we don't have the answers for that, but you do. We speak healing in Jesus' name over Dave Minkler and strength for Patty as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So how did the Lord bless Abraham's act of service? How did he? Hey, Abraham, we'll be back in a year. By then, you're going to have a son. You know, I used to have this really bad attitude towards people, young couples, people in birthing years, going and finding out what their baby was going to be. I mean, it's just kind of like, you know, I grew up in that era when it's like, you know, that technology wasn't there and it was just like, hey, whatever it is, we're going to love it no matter what. But now the nurseries get decorated with the right colors and all, you know, the clothing gets picked out for the right colors. And I'm not dressing a little girl in blue and nor am I dressing a boy in pink. Not that that matters anyway, but to some mindsets it does. Until I read these verses, God already told Abraham and Sarah what they're going to have, and it's like, wow, okay, if God can reveal these things, I mean, he predates, what's that little thing that they put on you? Yeah, the ultrasound thing.
Oh, that's a boy.
Wow. What a wonderful thing. So I had to get rid of that. Thank you, Lord, for wheeling some of that stuff off my heart. So Sarah, way past your childbearing years, she's at the tent waiting for that bread to rise. And she reacts to the news how? Yeah, that's how. But she doesn't what? She doesn't do it aloud like that. She laughs to herself. Kind of that. Really? Now? When my servant is old, I'm way past child. Now are you going to give me that pleasure? Lord, do you understand that we are old and we're probably going to forget where we put that child? It's a good thing you put that crying thing on them so we can find them. Okay, there they are. Yeah. She reacts by laughing to herself. And then, you know, really, Lord, after all those the years of ridicule that I have gone on under, being a woman not able to bear children for her, do you know the shame that I have endured for years? And God would say, yeah, I do. I know all about what's going on in you. I know all about your shame, your struggles. But you know what? I'm still God. And I can still rule in your life. And I can bring you precious thoughts, precious memories. Because you're deeply loved. You're highly favored. You're wonderfully blessed. The fact that she did this in herself, that she reacted this way. She didn't share her thoughts with anybody. She didn't express those out loud. What should that say to us about God's relationship and knowing us? He knows our every thought, even before one of them is expressed from my tongue. He knows the words that are going to come out of my mouth. Lord, I wish you'd help me with some of that, more of that, please. He knows you so intimately. Read Psalm 139 if you don't understand what I'm saying. In fact, the psalmist David, when he wrote Psalm 139, he was in wonder about all these things that God knew about him. He knew the beginning of his days and he knew the end of them. So who are we to worry about it? We are just to live every day in honor and glory to him, recognizing that we are deeply loved, that we are highly favored, that we are wonderfully blessed. Here's a question that I hope that you'll wrestle with. Do you believe being called servant loses its negativity when the one you serve possesses great power or significance? Think about that question. Think about it a lot. You see, the word servant in and of itself is a very demeaning term to most of us, if we'd be honest. We have this little thing called pride that doesn't want us to feel like that we are servant. And yet, if we are a servant to someone who is of great prominence or great power, great significance, then we don't see it so much as servitude. Instead, we see it as more of a privilege. In fact, the words today are no longer servant or slave. They are what? A personal assistant. I am a personal assistant, too. And you name the person of prominence a great power. And everybody goes, oh, aren't you quite the thing? Hey, by the way, do they have any dirty, nasty little secrets that you could tell us about? Oh, well, I could, but then I'd get fired. Well, maybe after you're done employment, you could go to the tabloids and you could tell us all about it. Yes, yes. I'll put it on the fake news. It'll all be out there. But the word servant, personal assistant, it loses negativity if the one that you serve possesses great power. Do you understand that you are a servant of the Most High God? Do you see yourself that way? Do you proclaim that over yourself? So many of us are so worried about our power and our prominence and our position in this world that we forget to pronounce over ourselves. You know what? Bottom line, you know, yeah, my title here is, hey, that's Pastor Don Tijima. Yeah. But underlying to all that is, I'm a servant of the Lord. And so are you, my brothers and sisters. So are you. So how well are you serving the Lord? How interested are you in His business? Oh, we're so worried about the things of this world. So into the latest stuff. But how much time are we spending divulging our minds into the business of God and just going, Lord, where you lead me, I'll follow. I'm yours. It's a life of complete surrender, and that's what Abraham, even though he was a man of great prosperity, a man of great wealth, a man of great position, he comes out to the three men at the trees of the on Mamre, the great oaks, and he bows before them. Now, these are three ordinary-looking men to everybody else, but to Abraham, they express something of importance, and that's the way each and every one of us should be toward each other. I'm your servant. I am here to serve you. I'm not here just to get what I can get. You know what? Trump wants to make America great again. I want to make Mountain Valley Church great again. And how are we going to do that? What's the secret formula? Oh, bring in the perfect program that will help make Mountain Valley into a great church. You know what will make this a great church? It's every one of us would become a servant to the Most Holy God. If every one of us would come into this place, not, I'm a person of prominence and everyone should wait on me, but rather, I am your servant. Oh, if I have found favor with you, might I have you sit down and let me refresh you? If we would truly care about each other in that way, Mountain Valley, we'd be bulging from the seams because people would feel like they could come here and they could be served and they could be a servant. You see, most organizations, what they're lacking in today are volunteers. And we're not on like that at all. We are lacking in volunteers. And those who would say, you know what? Pastor, this is not for your renown. This is for my Lord. I am going to come to this place and I'm going to serve in this church because it says unto the Lord. I don't need your recognition. I don't need your applause. I'm not working for the applause of man. I'm working for the applause of God. I'll do whatever it takes, Pastor. I'll come in, we'll clean the toilets. We'll take care of the janitor. We'll vacuum the rugs. I was sent a wonderful email this week. It was about a story about a woman who came in and she was complaining. Oh, She's complaining about how unruly those children were, and how that woman was dressed that way, and how, you know, the pastor and the board, they just weren't operating things correctly, and how her pastor lovingly asked her one day, he goes, you know, would you do me a favor? And she goes, sure, sure, what is it, pastor? And he says, take this very full glass of water, and I'd like you to just walk around the church three times. Just walk around the inside of the church three times. And she's like, okay, that's kind of a weird request, pastor, but okay. And she took the very full glass of water, and she starts walking around the sanctuary and being careful not to spill any drops on the carpet. She does her three laps, and she comes up to the pastor, and she says, okay, now what? He goes, well, that whole time that you were doing that, were you concentrating on the unruly kids? Were you worried about how the board was running things? Were you worried about the dress that someone was wearing? Well, no, pastor, I was concentrating on this glass. I want you to do the same thing with Jesus when you come to this place. Stop looking around at what's wrong with everything, and make those things that you think are wrong better by you serving in that capacity. You know, there are plenty of critics, folks. In fact, our reality shows that we have on TV anymore, they have grown us into being a society of critics. We can point fault out. Oh, American Idol. Oh, that one can't carry a tune. Come on. So you think you can dance? You call that dancing? What? Our society, the realities of what we deal with on an everyday basis, we have become very judgmental people. Please join me in making this a very loving and accepting church where people of all sorts of prominence or stature, no matter where they are in the economic situation of this world, they can come here and they can feel relaxed, accepted, loved. Why? Because you've got to believe these three words, these three statements. I am deeply loved. I am highly favored. I am wonderfully blessed. And that's of each and every person, because they are made just like you are. Every person is made in the very image of God. So maybe that's the attitude of our hearts and our minds that we should have when we come to meet in a place like this, is I'm coming to serve you. If I found favor in your eyes, let me serve you. Don't just be a taker. How many of you like people who just come to you and you know every time that they come and they talk to you, it's going to be about, can you do this for me? Can you do this? Can you, After a while, when you see that person start coming to you, what do you start doing? Yeah, you start ducking them, don't you? And yet, when you have people who are coming up and going, hey, I know your table's probably really overloaded. What can I do for you today? How can I bless the church? You know, we've got so many wonderful people in this church that serve in so many ways, but we still have some vacancies. Don't be so impressed with the things of this world that you won't give yourself to the work of God. You see, so many of us are so... It's one of the acronyms. I'm busy. It's a common excuse that people give out. Oh, I'm busy. I can't possibly do that. I'm busy. I have lots of things on my plate. Well, who put those things on your plate? Well, I did. Well, I made those choices to do this and do that. Well, so God didn't really put those things on your plate. You put them on your plate. Yeah, but that's why I'm so busy. Well, then, so you're so busy about the things that you think are important, but not the things that God thinks is important. What? Pastor, come on, put the gloves back on, buddy. Don't be bare-fisting us right now. Don't be getting in my grill. We are a people here for one purpose, and that's to serve a very honorable God. One who created us in his image. One who empowers us with his presence. What are you doing to help the body of Christ become all that it can be? You see, because each and every one of us, as 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. And Jesus calls us to elevate from slave to friend by doing what? Oh, man. Look up those scriptures. Look up those scriptures. We're going to discuss these on Wednesday night. And study Isaiah 56, verses 6 and 7. And tell me what you find significant there. Here's a personal challenge. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Don't you realize that you become a slave of whatever you choose to obey? So you can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. You are a slave to whatever controls you. Brother Allen, would you come forward? Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the message we've heard. And though some of us might be painting in our hearts and minds a little bit, that was kind of rough, Pastor. We serve a mighty God that I can proudly say, and with all confidence, that I am deeply loved. I am highly favored. And I am wonderfully blessed. Thank you, Father. May I be a blessing to you as well. May you find favor in my schedule. And may I deeply love you as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
As our ushers are coming forward, I'd like to draw your attention to the seat pockets near you that have cards in them. One of those is for visitors. If you are first time here and you want to leave your contact information for the pastor, fill that card out, throw it in the sacks now, or throw it in the wooden box in the back of the sanctuary. Also, we've got prayer concern cards there that you can fill out and do the same things with. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father God, you have given us the name of Christian, which means little Christ. And just as our pastor has been sharing with us, we are to be servants. Because Father God, even though you are God and you deserve all praise and all honor and all obedience, as Jesus, you came down and you served. You helped, you healed, you listened. So Father God, I pray we can take these things, incorporate them in our lives, and with the strength of your Holy Spirit, we can go out this week and demonstrate your love to others in servitude. All this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Also, for first-time visitors, I want to tell you that at the guest services desk out in the foyer is a gift awaiting for you, so don't forget to stop by there on your way out. We have the Yavapai County Food Barrel in the foyer. Bring by your non-perishable goods to share with the community there. Out in the foyer, there's a couple different tables. Ladies Ministries table on the far west wall is the media table, all kinds of flyers and things. There's also a sign-up sheet there. things that we can be doing for the church. There's a snack sign-up sheet for bringing in the goodies. Look at that and see which Sunday you can participate in that. Our men's and women's prayer groups on Tuesdays have been suspended until August, so in a week or two, we'll be picking those back up again. Wednesday night here at 7 o'clock, as Pastor has mentioned, we got verses to go through and study, and we'll be discussing today's sermon, diving into that a little bit deeper on Wednesday night. And men, have you looked in the bulletin? There in the bottom of the bulletin on the back page, next Sunday, July the 30th, right after the service, women are going to depart and the men are going to stay in here. We're going to have a meeting. So be prepared for that. Anything else? Okay.
As a matter of fact, an area of service has been brought up to us, and that is that Rose Etzinger has a new place that she's going to be moving into on Saturday, and she has a moving truck. She just needs some moving men or women, you know, all the above, that can come and help her get into her own place so she can be a happier person and full of joy. Anyway, so Rose, would you please stand up? She's still standing up, folks. There she is. No, Rose, would you please stand up? Oh. If you can help Rose out on Saturday, Rose, what time are you going to do that about?
I'm not sure.
Well, I just made an announcement, Rose. You got to support me in this. Oh. Well, you got to let all these people know. That's true. You can. You're. You know. Isn't always terrible to have to be waiting for a man like that. Isn't always happen to be. Okay. So either this Saturday or the 5th, whichever date that Rose gets, please plan on the 5th. Okay. Forget about next Saturday. It's going to be the 5th, August 5th. If you can clear your schedule and help her out for a few hours, that'd be great. You know, so see Rose if you can find her afterwards. That's all I got, brother. Do I want to meet and greet people? I don't know. I might get stoned today. Yes. Let's all stand and meet and greet each other.